and this morning and this address with prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Lord, we thank Thee for bringing us here, a special occasion, as a church family together with guests among us. Lord, we thank Thee for this precious time together. We thank Thee for all Thou gavest us yesterday, in unity, in love, and being together, in opening the Word, in praying together, in listening to the Word. Lord, we thank Thee. Especially also for the address we heard yesterday evening, and we were so encouraged to hear what You are doing in Egypt. How You are, although it is on a small scale yet, but how You are reviving that old church, 2,000 years old, almost dead, and how Your Word again, after such a long time, is bringing life, and how You are using sinners like us to do that mighty work. Lord, it's such an encouragement for us, and we lay down in Your hand that church in Egypt and in the Middle East and in Israel. And Lord, we ask also Thy blessing upon today and all we plan to do, this address this morning. Lord, receive our thanks. Bless us. Help us. We are needy people. We are in such great need of a mighty work of Your Spirit, that Christ is central in our life, that we live by grace. Lord, hear our prayer and receive our thanks in the name of Thy beloved Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first sheet, please. Thank you. I would like to read with you two portions in Scripture to open this address. And the first one is, both of them are actually quite well known. So the first one is Mark 10. I'll read it from the PowerPoint. Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. So let's read it together. And they brought young children to Him, that He, that's Jesus, should touch them. And His disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And He took these little children up in His arms, put His hands upon them, and blessed them. What a wonderful story. Here is the mediator of the covenant. Here is the surety of the covenant. Here is the head of the covenant. Right, you read that in Hebrews 8 and 9, Romans 5, mediator, the surety, the head of the covenant. And He receives small children. If He, the surety, the head, the mediator of the covenant, receives small children, we can be sure that children are part of that covenant. No doubt about it. Especially if you read these very last verses. And He blessed them. Who received a blessing? The covenant children. In the whole Old Testament, you don't read about a blessing upon the non-covenant children. It is always a blessing on the children of the covenant. So, very clear, children are part of the covenant. Can you please move on to the next sheet? Then let's read also a quite well-known portion of Scripture, Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 9. I'll read it with you. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded thee to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Shema Yisrael, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, keep it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Yahweh Echad, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontless between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and of thy gates. Well, this portion of Scripture, quite well known, I think, for all of you, is of course about keeping the covenant. This is the one topic in this portion of Scripture. Actually, not only here, the whole book of Deuteronomy is about keeping the covenant. Right? You see it so clear. Verse 1. These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. And as I explained yesterday, they are part of the covenant. Again, verse 2. To keep all his statutes, commandments, which I command thee. Again, keeping the covenant. Verse 3. Hear and observe to do it. Observe the law, the covenant of God. It's here all about the covenant of God and keeping that covenant, which is so important. And not only in these Old Testamentic days, but also in the New Testamentic days, our days. And again, that same emphasis, children are included in the covenant. Because you read, by example, verse 2, right? Thy son, thy son's son. Verse 7, thy children, I marked it with green. Thine house, so the house of your family. Verse 9, thy house, thy gates. So children are included. And what's also clear here, it is about the family keeping the covenant yesterday and today. That the family, we saw it yesterday, we see it again, the family is an important focus point of the covenant because it speaketh here about thine house, your family. Right? And again in verse 9, thy house, thy gates. Family is an important focus point for the covenant. What we also read here, that keeping the covenant is a matter of our heart. It all starts here in our heart. There is no strength in us to keep the covenant. There is no wisdom, there is no discernment. We can't arouse faith in our life. It's impossible. Faith is not a work. It's not at all. And the same with obedience and the same with good works. It is not work from our side. Therefore, it says, verse 5 and 6, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, thy soul. And again, verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. How is that heart going to be changed? And then later on in the Old Testament, we heard that wonderful promise of the new covenant. The Lord is going to pour out his spirit. And that spirit will change our hearts. It all starts with the work of Christ, that work of atonement, who pours out his spirit, and that spirit will change our hearts. And then the fruits of that. Although, that's right, it are obligations, but the fruits of that work of Christ and the Spirit are faith, obedience, evangelical obedience and good works. But there are also some practical instructions here. Because we can't tell our children or our neighbor or our spouse, change your heart. That's impossible, right? It's a work of the Lord. So, what to do? Well, as we know, it's also written in the New Testament. By example, Romans 11. It all starts with hearing. Hearing the words of the covenant. Hearing that we are sinners. Hearing that there is a God. A good-doing God. That there is Christ. It all starts with hearing. Verse 3. Hear, in Hebrew, Shema. Shema Yisrael. Hear therefore, O Israel. Hear, Providence Church. Hear. And then verse 4. Hear, O Israel. A double command. It all starts with hearing. The Lord is using his word to change hearts. And where hearts are changed, we'll keep the covenant. But it all starts with hearing. And therefore, dear parents among us, it all starts with instruction. And not only from the pulpit, but at home, at school. It all starts with instruction. We need instructions and teachings at home. Verse 7. And thou shalt teach the covenant words, the laws, the statutes. Teach them diligently. Parents, are we doing that? Do we love our children? Then we start with teaching so they hear the gospel word. And by the mighty work of the Spirit, the hearts of our children will be changed. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. How do we do that? You talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. When you sit around the table, please open scripture, open the Bible, read devotionals. Please, it all starts there. If we love God above all, and we love our family, and we love our children, we instruct them. Teach them diligently. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, but also on their way. When you drove in your car to the camp here, what did you talk about? That's a nice time of instruction of your children. When thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and thou risest up. In other words, the whole day is available to teach and to instruct your children. You go to bed and you rise up. The whole day is in between. So you have the whole day, 24 hours, to instruct and you teach your children. It even goes further. Thou shalt bind these covenant words for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. Can you please show the next sheet? Well, the Israelians, they take this literally. Very literally. And they have mezuzahs, Maybe you pronounce it different in English, but I pronounce it in the Hebrew way. They have mezuzahs, what you see here, attached to the doorpost. And they wear tefillin. Tefillin are these small boxes. You see them at the top right? It's a box. That box is divided in four parts. Every part contains a portion of scripture. It's within there. Exodus 13, two parts, and Deuteronomy 6, the words we just read. Well, these four portions of scripture are stored there safely in that box, in the four compartments of the box. And what they do when they pray in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, whenever they pray, they bind these covenant words, because they are the words of the covenant, on their hands and here on their foreheads. Literally what the Lord told them to do. Well, is this indeed really what the Lord asks us to do? Well, it's not wrong to do that. But do you think that this is really the meaning of Deuteronomy 6? No, it isn't. To bind parents, to bind the covenant words on your hand, means that all your deeds are according to the covenant of God. That you keep the covenant of God in your deeds, in all your actions, in all you do, in all your work. It's according to God's will. You show that you love God above all and the neighbor as yourself. To bind them here at your forehead means that the covenant's words, the word of God, fills your mind. In other words, you are instructed with it, you read it, you meditate upon it. It's here, stored in your mind. That's what it means. It's important, I'll come back on that later, because in the book of Revelations, these words are quoted. Often, and very commonly misunderstood words in the book of Revelation. I'll come back on that later. Can you please move on to the next sheet? Well, keeping the covenant. Again, it was a small introduction, but there are big problems in keeping the covenant. The first problem is that we have wrong hearts. Our hearts are not willing to love God and our neighbor. Our hearts are not willingly to keep the covenant. Actually, you know all of that. The Bible speaks about a three-headed enemy. Our heart, the world, and Satan. But our heart? Well, in this world, you hear things like, trust yourself. Right? Trust yourself. Stay true to yourself. Even Christians, you hear these words even from the mouth of Christians. Trust yourself, stay true to yourself, tune in to your needs and instincts, listen to your feeling. This is our culture, right? What does the Word of God say about our heart? It's so completely contrary to it. It's the other side. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Your heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the word of God. And then this world comes with the wisdom. Well, trust your heart. Trust your feeling. Be yourself. And the word of God says, don't trust yourself. Please. And then Matthew 15, words of the Lord himself. For out of the heart, words of the covenant head, the mediator of the covenant, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And these are the things which defile a man. You know, there is a certain truth in daily life, indeed. You know, a certain trust in yourself is important. I know. But the question is, what does fill our heart? With what things are our hearts filled? Are our hearts filled with worldly wisdom, with our own lusts, or are our hearts filled with the words of the covenant, the words of God? If our hearts are filled with these covenant words, when that makes a difference, right? It's all a matter of what is the direction of our heart. We need that work of the Spirit. He needs to change our hearts that we come to love Jesus Christ, love God above all, and our neighbors, ourselves. But even after that regeneration, after that mighty work of God, where He gives us a new heart, we still have also that old heart, that old nature. And therefore, searching of our heart is so important. When you really want to keep the covenant, please search your heart diligently and do it often. Often. Psalm 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed and be still. In other words, search your heart when you're laying in bed. What is the direction of your heart? Is it filled with your lusts and the world, or is it filled with the word of God? Haggai 1 verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And it's so important that we search our heart, not only personally, but that we do it as part of our family life. How? Well, you could study by example on these text verses after reading God's word and meditate upon them. You could open your own heart, parents, for your children. Children, you can open your heart for your parents and tell what you discover in your own heart. And your parents can encourage you to open God's word and to flee to Jesus Christ because we have such a good doing God. Well, searching our heart should definitely be part of our personal worship and family worship time. Next sheet, please. But there is another problem in covenant keeping. There is also the world around us. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. Let's read it. And he causes all, that's Satan, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. There are so many fantasies about this text. Many people think, well, you know, in future we need a chip, and I don't know. It's not what God's word said. Revelations is firmly built on the words of the Old Testament. The book of Revelations quotes very often the words of the Old Testament, and these texts are clearly referring to the words of Deuteronomy 6. What the Lord asks of its covenant people is that our minds are full of His word, about the word of our Savior, the gospel news, but also the whole counsel of God, that our deeds, actions are marked by the word of God. In other words, that we keep the covenant. But Satan, he's going around like a roaring lion, and he influenced the world around us. And the world is filled with his thoughts, thoughts of hatred and deceit. And Satan binds his word on the hands of the world. And his words and his thoughts fill the minds of the people around us. That's what's written here. And it even becomes worse. There will be a time that when your deeds are not the deeds of Satan, and when your mind is not filled with the thoughts of Satan, the things contrary to the word of God, it is impossible to live in this world, to sell or to buy. It just becomes impossible. That's what within here. So the world, clearly, parents, children, is a dangerous place. There are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of Satan. And the world is the kingdom of Satan. We have our task in this world, of course. We need to go out in this world, of course. Why? Because we need to be a light in this world and the salt of the world. It's so important that we go out. But how do we go out? Filled with the covenant words. That promise of God, of Jesus Christ. I am your Savior. I will be with you until the ends of the days. I will guide you. I will instruct you. I will strengthen you. I will encourage you. If we go out in this world without these words in our heart and solemn mind, we are lost. And that's, dear parents, again, it starts with that your children need to hear the word of God. They need to be instructed. And of course, not only in home, the school is so important. The Christian schooling, we heard it yesterday, right? It's so important. Bring your children to the school or teach them at home diligently. But it's so important also that they get Christian friends, Christian teachers, that they grow up in a Christian environment. It's so important. And that before they go out in the world, they know Christ. And they know what it is to keep the covenant. And they know what it is to live by grace. It's so important. Next sheet, please. Well, and there is the last, it should be number 3, the last enemy, Satan. Just a few texts. Let's start with Revelation 12, verse 9. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a fight, a struggle against Satan, and there is no strength in us to overtake Satan. We will never succeed in that. But look to the previous sheet, please. Look to these first two verses. Colossians 2 verse 15, it's about Christ. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. Christ overtook Satan. In him is strength to stand in this world. Revelations 12 verse 9. And the great dragon, Satan, was cast out of heaven. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. When was he cast out of heaven? After Christ finished his work of atonement and ascended to heaven. Revelation 12. After he ascended to heaven and he was enthroned in heaven, the first thing he did, with the help of his mighty angels, to throw out Satan. And then what is so important for us, Ephesians 6 verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. That armor that is proven by Jesus Christ. that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. For us, you know, it is not about overtaking Satan. It is about standing in the fight, because Christ overtook Satan. And we just take upon us his armory, that we are able to stand in his strength, in the word of the gospel, in the covenant word. We just have to stand, to abide in Christ, to take upon you the whole armor of God. It's nothing else than to abide in Christ and to derive your strength from him, to derive your wisdom from him. That's the whole armor of God. It's all about Christ. And therefore, John 15, verse 5, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There will be a covenant keeping. Despite these threefold enemy, heart, world, and Satan. For without me, you can do nothing. Next sheet, please. Well, but maybe you feel a little bit depressed now. There is the obligation to keep the covenant, because we are covenant children. But there is this threefold enemy. And if you know yourself a little bit by grace, you know that your heart is so weak. My heart is so weak, Lord. And there is the world around me, and it's so deceitful. And there is Satan, this mighty enemy. How to keep the covenant? Well, we need Christ. That's the only answer. In order to keep the covenant, we need Christ. What we need to do in our families is to hold him high, to store his words in our heart, like Mary did, to sit at his feet, to abide in him. What a privilege to raise your children, because dear parents, you may bring them to Christ's feet. How? By reading the word of God. By being an example of faith and obedience and good works. And to show them Christ in his beauty, in his glory, in his power. It's about raising children in a family. Keeping the covenant within that family is all about bringing your children to Christ. John 15 again. Verse 4 and 7, abide in me. That's the task in a family. Abide in me, abide in Christ. And there is that rich promise, and I will abide in you. But how do we abide in Christ? Well, let's continue to read verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Again. It's all about opening the word of God, reading the word of God, instructing your children. And by leading them through that word and into that word, we abide in Christ by grace through the Spirit. And then the rich promise, ye shall ask what ye will, because we are so weak, and it shall be done unto you. Well, it's so important in our family that we bring our children to Jesus Christ. And that we show them the importance of faith. There is the beautiful chapter of Ephesians 1. It's filled with the blessings we have in Christ. And a few of them here. Verse 4. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Verse 6, he has made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Verse 13, sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Well, keeping the covenant is all about showing the mediator of the covenant, the head of the covenant, and all the blessings in him, and making your children jealous that they flee to Jesus Christ, that they can't be without him. It's about showing the dangers of the heart, the world, and Satan, and pointing them to Jesus Christ. That's our task, dear parents. Okay, the next sheet, please. There are some more important things. I just give some headlines. There's much more to say about keeping the covenant. But what we need is the Spirit. Parents, we can't raise our children in our own strength. It's just impossible. We are in such great need of the Holy Spirit. You can do it. I can do it. But Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might, your might, because you are unable to keep the covenant. You're unable to instruct your children. You're unable to bring them to Christ, to give them faith, to bring them to that evangelical obedience. It's just impossible. But Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And therefore, always, when we pray, we ask for the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to work in our family, to work in the hearts of our children. And there is that rich promise, and we can plead upon that promise. Ezekiel 36, verse 27, I will put my Spirit within you. This is about the new covenant, and we live in the time of the new covenant. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. He will cause us. It's impossible for us and our children, but he will do it. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And therefore, we pray for the Spirit and not only pray. I know that some of the children were yesterday taught in the armor of the Christian from Ephesians 6. Well, and then you have heard about the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit uses his word again. You see, again, it's always circling around the word of God. Keeping the covenant, always come back on the word of God. To open the word of God in our families. Because the Spirit uses the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture, 66 books, is given by inspiration, 67, by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Again, the most important thing is opening the word of God, instructing your children, because the Holy Spirit is using the sword of the Spirit. Again, God's word is central in Christians' home and families. Please read it. Study it. Meditate upon it. And tell your children what it is to meditate upon it. And show it to them. Teach them. Explain. Apply it to their hearts. And there are so many helps out there to do all this work. It's all, again, about the Word of God. Next sheet, please. Another important thing in family life is love. Just looking how much time I have to go. Oh, I still have some time. Okay. Yeah. Love. Love is so important in our family. I can't emphasize this enough. Why? Because God is a God of love. 1 John 4, verse 8 and 16, it is repeated. God is love. Well, if God is love, then his covenant is all about love. And indeed it is, because the summary of the covenant is love God above all and the neighbor as yourself. Then our family should be filled with love. 1 John 3, verse 16, that very well-known verse. God so loved the world, sinful people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 13, what a beautiful chapter. Please read it at home. So beautiful. It's an exposition of love. Love is, it says charity, but charity is another word for love. Love is, and there is this long list. It's, by the way, a good chapter to search your heart. You know how? Just by filling in your name, it says love is, and then follows a characteristic of that love, and just filling your name. That's heart searching. Is there indeed love in our heart? Well, and it says in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 2b, if you have not charity, love, if I have it not, I am nothing. Without love, there is no covenant keeping. Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore that the Lord our God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. But there is a strong warning. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to faith. You know, it's one of the two. There is either love in our heart or hatred. There is no in between. When there is no love, there is hatred. Actually, hatred is where hatred starts there. Where you put another one in the second place. Love is all about putting the other in the first place. Putting God on the first place. Putting your spouse on the first place. Putting your children on the first place. And whenever we don't put God, our spouse, our children, our brothers and sisters on the first place, then we put them on the second place. And that's where hatred starts. And then it's going downhill. And it ends in deeds of hatred. Just search your own life. I found out these truths many times. When I didn't put my beloved wife on the children in the first place, all things are going wrong. God is putting sinners in the first place. Isn't this amazing? Jesus Christ gave His life for sinners. He put us on the very first place. And repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. These are such solemn words. When we don't put God and our neighbor, whoever that neighbor is, on the first place, we break the covenant. These are such solemn words. Our families should be a place of love. In other words, where we put God on the first place. Our spouse, our children, our brothers, our sisters. How important. Psalm 133 is about it. 1 Corinthians 13. But open scripture and you will find this truth everywhere. Next sheet, please. Another third thing, important thing to keep the covenant is repentance. Oh, how important it is that there is repentance in our personal life and that repentance has a place in our family lives. What is repentance? It is a change in mind, heart, and actions. Our whole life is changed, turned. It's turned 180 degrees from evil to good, from Satan and the world and our own heart to Christ. Repentance is a change in mind, heart, and actions wherein we turn from evil and seek the Lord. And we do so mourning about our sins. We repent of our sins. We bring them to the Lord. Lord, here we are. Remember that a different definition of a covenant is an agreement between two or more parties. With binding commitments, and then it comes, by which they enter into a relationship. This definition of a covenant, also the covenant of grace, is so important. It is entering into a relationship. God, triune God, is seeking a relationship with us in Christ. But if he seeks a relationship with us, and we like to stay in that relationship, there is such a need, a daily need for repentance, to turn from this threefold enemy, the natural direction of our life, to God, the triune God, to Jesus Christ. There is really a daily need of repentance, always a continual need of repentance. Take, by example, Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? Just raise your hand if you can say that your heart is clean. We can't. I am pure from my sin. We never can say that. And therefore, we are in a continual need of repentance. And the family is such an important place to exercise repentance. Dear parents, just open your hearts for your children and tell them what you did wrong against them and against God. Just open your heart. Show them what it is, what repentance is, who Christ is in your life. Let it be known in prayer. Confess your sins in prayer. Just show these godly examples to your children. And why is repentance so important? Well, it creates a hatred of sin. It works, really. When you confess your sin, you turn to the Lord in mourning, it creates a hatred in your heart. A hatred of sin and evil. And a fleeing from that sin. And it makes you hungry for forgiveness, righteousness, and sanctification. It draws you to Christ. Do you understand how important this exercise is in your family life? And demonstrate it daily, please, please. Because God's word is full of repentance. Next sheet, please. Well, I'm almost closing my address. There is another important thing. I'm not going into this in depth. I just want to read with you what is written down here, but that's baptism. Dear parents, speak about baptism with your family. It is such a privilege that the small children are baptized and that you carry that sign and seal with you your whole life. Let's just read it, and that's it for today. Just take these words to home. And maybe you can take it as a subject for your next family devotion. Westminster Confession, a larger catechism now. The needful but much neglected duty of improving or using our baptism, right? It's so often neglected. The needful but much neglected duty of using or improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long. These are such wise words. Especially in the time of temptation. And there are so much temptation, so many temptations around us. And when we are present at the administration of it to others. At regular times there is baptism, right, in the Sunday services. And how do we do that? How do we use our own baptism? By serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and of the ends, the goals for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow by being humble. We use our baptism to humble ourselves for our sinful defilement, our falling short, our walking contrary to the grace of the baptism and our engagement. How do we use our baptism? By growing up to assurance of pardon of sin. There is forgiveness of sins and pardon in Christ, and it is signed and sealed in the covenant of baptism. There is, and all the other blessings sealed to us in that sacrament. By drawing strength. How do we use the baptism? Drawing strength from the death and the resurrection of Christ.
into whom we are baptized for the mortifying of sin. We can't do it ourselves. We need to find it in Christ and the quickening of grace. How do we use our baptism? By endeavoring to live by faith. Of course, by faith. To have our conversation in holiness and righteousness as those that have therein given up their names to Christ. It's no longer me, it's Christ. And how do we use our baptism? To walk in brotherly love. We just discussed it. As being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. Well, this is using your baptism. Please, parents, do it in your family. Next sheet, please. Well, to summarize it, and then we end it, this is the last sheet. Some practical advices, I think you know them by now. First of all, let your family be a place where faith can grow and increase. How? Most important that it is a place of love. When there is no love, there is hatred. That it is a place of unity. That it is a place where you open your heart because it is a safe place. That's a family. It is a place where love reigns, where unity reigns, where openness reigns. Second, to be that place, always open God's word. Always. We have read it in Deuteronomy 6, right? Day and night. Please open it. Let it control your deeds. Let it control your thoughts. Third, we pray personally, but also together as a family. Fourth, we give each other an example of a life of obedience to the Lord and good works. Fifth, we try to bring our children also outside our home into a Christian environment. That's very important. Don't lead them into the world without instructing them, teaching them, and guiding them and guarding them. Sixth, we do all this so that our children to learn to keep the covenant, that they fear the Lord, that they obey Him and do good works, that they become an image of God, that there will be a light in the world because you raise them to send them out into the world so that they will be a faithful witness of the Lord. Well, concluding, as a family, we are a place where by God's grace we keep the covenant with God. How? In faith in Christ. The fear of God, evangelical obedience, and in good works. I can't see the clock, but I think it's time. Yeah? Is there time for questions? Or I don't know, I can't see it. There is time for questions. Are there any questions? In other words, we'll sing a psalter. Are there any questions among you? Verse 8 and 16, I think. 1 John 4, verse 8 and 16. It's repeated there twice. Other questions? Thank you for listening in this morning. You're all a little bit tired, right? And then to get so much information, wow. Thank you for your attention. Let's sing a psalter. What did I say, you?
Is it 9?
9, okay. Psalter 281, that's number 9. Mindful of our human frailty is the God in whom we trust. All four stanzas, Psalter 281.